Hi, this is Steve Chandler with a production called Making a Difference. This is not Tony Robbins, in case you got the wrong CD plugged in. This is not Tony Robbins. I have to say, though, that I love Tony Robbins. I'm not sad that I'm not Tony Robbins, but I do things a little differently. You've noticed that. You've criticized me for it. You've vilified me. You've hung me out to dry, and I don't mind that. I speak slowly. I don't get all psyched up and pumped up. I don't transfer my energy to you. I don't get you psyched up and pumped up. I don't live with passion, at least not in my audio recordings. So, let's get that straight. I do this deliberately. I speak slowly. I slow everything down. I want you to be able to hear this at a level that you're not all pumped up and excited, but it goes in there, into the subconscious part of your system, into every cell in your body, and it becomes an operating principle instead of just information, something you know. It becomes a place to come from. So to do that, I want to slow everything down. I want to slow your mind down. I don't want you racing out ahead of what I'm talking about into your own future. This racing around that we do is really the problem as far as success is concerned. And when people would simply slow down and focus on the beautiful details and practice them slowly, wonderful things would happen. Now let's take this idea of attraction first. When it comes to making a difference, one of the first things I want to eliminate from my mind is this thing called attraction. I want to attract into my life things. I want to find a way to attract wealth. I want to find a way to attract a spouse. I want to find a way to attract customers to my website. I want to find a way to attract clients into my world. Let's drop that. Notice how it does not work. I would only drop it because it doesn't work. That would be the only reason I would drop that. I've worked with people for over 20 years. Well, let's be honest here. I've been saying that for 10 years. I've worked with people for over 30 years. And I have never seen attraction work. The only reason I would drop it from my repertoire, from my vocabulary, especially from inside that part of my mind that carries these morbid, toxic beliefs around with me that keep me from succeeding, I want to drop it from that part of my life. This thing called attraction. Attracting a partner, attracting customers, attracting money, attracting wealth, attracting good contacts, all that stuff. I want to drop it. Only because it doesn't work. Have I repeated that enough times? Because repetition, annoying as it is, has you get it. Also, speaking slowly, annoying as that is, has you actually get it. So you might end up not liking me, but getting it. So that would be okay with me. I mean, that would be perfect for me. So, getting back to this thing called attraction, what can I replace it with? I mean, I might want a spouse or a partner. I might want customers or clients. I might want wealth coming into my life. So if I'm not going to be utilizing the law of attraction, if I'm not going to sit silently and simply picture these things coming into my world, then what can I do otherwise? And what I recommend that people do is that they actually make a difference all day, every day, by using creation. By substituting creation for where they once had attraction as their operating system. Creation. So, rather than attracting a partner, I want to create a relationship. And by creating, I become active. I join groups. I remember once years ago, I joined a group of single parents with full custody of their kids, and they met other single parents, and it was really fun. But I created that. I produced it. I did it. And so I made my life different than it was, and it's called making a difference. And making a difference has you be creative throughout the day, instead of sitting back wondering how to attract. Here's the main problem with attraction as an operating principle. Attraction immediately assumes that there are things, people, money, whatever, outside of you, out there, somewhere, that need to come into your world for you to be happy. Now, that's what attraction is all about. The whole theme of attraction, the whole DNA of the principle of attraction is that you are not enough. You don't have inside of you the resources to make you happy. You need to have it come to you from the outside. You need to have it come in the form of a beautiful partner, in the form of more clients, in the form of more money, in the form of more hits on the website. It must come to you from the outside for you to be happy. There's a real problem with that, because it has me walking around deficient as a human, at least in where I'm coming from. I'm not enough. I'm trying to attract what would complete me. And my whole day is about that. Hi, this is not enough. I just thought I'd leave you a message and hope you would call me. I'm trying to attract you. So, ask for not enough when you call. That's my name. I'm not enough. You see where that leads? It leads to low self-esteem. It leads to becoming someone that other people don't want to be around. We love being around people who have enough, who love their lives, who are in love with life, because they've got everything they would ever need to be happy. We love being around people like that. And we are, dare I say it, I shouldn't even say this, we are attracted to people like that. Now let's take a look at this idea of making a difference. If I'm going to create what I want in my life, if I'm going to create clients, I'm going to create a partnership. By the actions I take and the communications I make, I will create a partnership that I want. I will create the relationships I want in my life. Create them. Not attract them. If I'm going to do that, then I want to learn about making differences. I want to learn how to make a difference everywhere I go. And small differences are fine. They don't have to change the entire world all at once. They can be very small. I want to slow down and learn how to make a difference. Let me give you one example of this that happened in my life. That was really powerful. I once worked with a person by the name of Lyndon Duke. And Lyndon lived up in Oregon, and he was a coach of mine, a mentor of mine, and he communicated with me in many ways. He used to send me cassettes, coaching cassettes, where he would talk to me on the cassette, and I would drive around listening to it over and over and over. He was a powerful man. A wonderful, gentle philosopher, and his specialty was the linguistics of suicide. How interesting and strange. Sounds negative, sounds dark, but it wasn't, because he was so good at working with people, at studying suicide notes, finding out what would have a person be that low on the scale of motivation, inspiration, spirit, that they would write a suicide note, or that they would even consider that. And what he discovered over the years in his research was that people in that state of mind were not making a difference. And when he worked with them, if he could get them to the point where they were making a difference, and they knew they were making a difference, their lives took on meaning. In other words, to them, they were now living a life that made some kind of difference, even if it was small. Even if it was a tiny difference, it would change everything. And that's where he began to work. And he then applied his theory, his philosophy. Actually, it was something that worked so well, it would be hard to call it a theory or a philosophy. It was actually a principle that works, called difference making. And he would talk about and help people see ways they could make a difference. And one of his concepts that I really loved was the concept of routine. How to create a routine. If you really want something to occur in your world, then simply create a routine that you follow that would have it occur. Now, here's what was brilliant about that. The word routine is very simple and unthreatening. It's very easy to get your mind around. I'll create a routine. Every morning I'll do this. I'll walk downstairs. I'll go out back. I'll get on the treadmill. I'll put up the newspaper. I'll be on the treadmill for 20 minutes before I do anything. That would be a routine. Now, notice how different that would be than trying to develop a commitment to exercise. See the difference in your mind. Because where most people go when they want to make a difference in their world is they look inside and they ask themselves, am I really committed? And they spend a long, long time wondering if they're committed. They also spend a long time wondering if they have what it takes to make a commitment and keep it. And then they start to worry about their courage or their character or how they were raised. I might not have been raised in a proper way to be able to make commitments and keep them. And so it gets really tangled up after a while. People really get lost in all these broodings and meanderings and wonderings. Why do that? Because you look at this other guy, and he's downstairs on the treadmill reading his newspaper. Now I look over at him and I say, well, he's probably more committed than I am. He's obviously really committed to doing his daily exercise. Well, no, he just created a routine. And that little routine made his life different. Now, when Lyndon Duke explained routines to me, he used an example in his world, and he said, Steve, for years, I was thought of by everybody, including my clients, as the absent-minded professor, a man who lived in chaos, total mess. People would come to my apartment, and the place would be a disaster. Books everywhere. Everything dirty, yesterday's clothing hanging over the furniture, chaos, dishes not done. And I was embarrassed. For a while I had a maid, and that cost me a lot, and it didn't work very well, and it bothered me and didn't allow me to do my work, so I got rid of her, and I didn't know what to do. I wondered what was wrong with me. What's wrong with me that my place would look like this? This must be an outer projection of my inner mind. And he went deep with self-condemnation. Notice how we do that. Notice how, when something's not occurring the way we want it to, we start to add stories to it about, I'm not good at this, I've always been bad at that, and we complicate it and make it harder than ever to change and make a difference. So what hit Lyndon one day, when he woke up, he said, wait a second, I know what's missing from this place. As he looked around and saw the mess, I know what's missing. The only thing missing is a routine. I have no routine for keeping this place clean, straightened up, looking orderly. I have no routine. I follow no routine. And it hit him. He was just delighted. And so what he did from that day forward was he created. Now, remember, he didn't attract something into his life that had him do things differently. He created a simple routine. Every morning, a certain amount of minutes, when he woke up, the coffee machine was on, going, this was happening, that was happening. He was getting his day started. For a certain amount of minutes, 20 minutes, He would walk about the house straightening up, cleaning up. And that's all he would do. And when that time was up, he wouldn't do it anymore. But in a small apartment, if you do that for 20 minutes every single morning, it doesn't take too many days before the place looks great. And then now you're walking around, everything is straightened up. So you get out the polisher, you get out this, you get out the cleaner, you get out the mop, because you want to do your 20 minutes. That's your routine. And pretty soon the place is looking absolutely sparkling. Now, does that mean that Lyndon is a different person who has changed? Something has come over him. Well, that's what it looked like to all of his friends who came by, all of his clients. Wow! Did you get married, man? What happened? Look at this place. It was sparkling. And all he added into his world was a routine. He did not have to create a brand new commitment. He did not have to come up with passion for anything. He didn't have to find integrity and character inside himself that wasn't there. He didn't have to deal in those biblical, apocalyptic terms that we end up using to shame ourselves, to feel so ashamed of how we're not like others who use those terms so easily. He simply created a routine. This is something that when I work with clients, they too find out they can do. That succeeding, creating what you want in the world, is much, much easier than it looks. And it gets easier and easier when I'm making small differences based on what I want to create, versus looking outside myself, envying other people, wishing something would come into my world like what they've got so I could be happy like they are. That simply doesn't work. Now, Lyndon Duke had a little saying that he would repeat many times. He taught to me. It was really so profound that when I first heard it, I asked him to repeat it, and then I repeated it on my flight home from Oregon. I would say it over and over. I wrote it down. I read it. It was really amazing to me. It sounds so simple. And what he said was this: meaning is the difference something makes. If it makes no difference, it has no meaning. And he learned that from the studies of suicide in people's lives. In other words, if a person felt my life makes no difference, nothing would be different if I was gone, if I left the planet, nothing would be any different. In other words, I don't make a difference being here. That he found that no meaning was in a life that made no difference. And he also found that it was in anything and everything. If it makes no difference, it has no meaning. Meaning is the difference something makes. That allowed him to begin operating from, what difference can I make? So, for example, if somebody came to him and wanted him to coach them, he would wonder, what difference can I make? How do I make a difference in this person's life? Instead of, how do I look like a smart coach? How do I keep this person happy? How do I earn my money? How do I seem worthy of what he's paying me? That's what most people ask themselves. They go to the worthiness issue instead of the difference I could make. What would make a difference right now? How could I make a difference in my daughter's life? She's asking for help. What kind of difference could I make? And if I'm looking for the difference I can make, then all kinds of wonderful things can happen. In one of my books, I used an example of a little old man who I used to see in the neighborhood walking around. And he looked to be about 85, maybe older, very nicely dressed. Every morning when I came out to get my newspaper, I saw him walking up and down the streets. And he would walk slowly along, a slight smile on his face. And if he found someone's newspaper out on the lawn or out on the sidewalk, he would pick it up and walk it up to their doorstep and place it on the doorstep and keep walking. Now, he was doing this for what reason? Was he getting paid? What was happening here? What he was doing was making small differences everywhere he went, so that when people woke up in the morning, they opened the door, here's my newspaper, right here. And he would do that for them. He didn't ask for praise. He didn't ask for them to come out and thank him. He didn't need to attract anything from the outside world into him, approval, love, appreciation, praise, for him to feel good. He was feeling good already. And when we start from the inside and feel good already, we can then go out and take the actions to create what we want. And creating what we want comes from difference making. How can I make a difference, a small difference, any kind of difference? What difference could I make in this person's life? No matter how small, I want to make a difference. So difference making is really the key to everything. It's the key to creating wealth. It's the key to creating relationships. It's the key to creating clients, creating customers, creating the life you want. I want to look at what differences can I make today. If a person is contacting me and wanting to talk, I want to ask myself, how can I contribute to this person's life? What could I do that would make a difference right now? Instead of, how am I coming across? I mean, I have so many of my clients who tell me, I'm going to communicate with this customer or prospective customer, and I don't want to come across like this, but I don't want to come across like that. So if I said this, I'm afraid I'd come across this way. But if I said that, I'm worried I'd come across that way. How do you think I should come across? How do I come across as the kind of person who they would pay money to? Because I thought the other day I was coming across this way. But it turned out I got an email and it made it look like I might have been coming across a different way than that way. And I might have been coming across a way in which he might not want to work with me. Look at how people are so incredibly obsessed throughout the day with how they're coming across. I'm going to send this email. How would this email come across? Well, how would it come across if I drove over there and talked to him? How would it come across if I just asked him this? How would it come across? What would I be thought of? How would they think of me? And that's the whole fallacy of attraction. That's the whole fallacy of trying to manipulate other people's love and approval of me. It never works. It never holds. It simply doesn't work. In fact, it backfires. The more obsessed I am with how I'm coming across, the more repulsed other people are, the less they want to be with me. You know this. You've been to parties, you've been to gatherings, where it's obvious a person arrives, they begin talking about bragging about things and how, and it looks like they are trying so hard to come across a certain way. And they are repulsive, and you look at your friend you're at the gathering with and you kind of smile like, oh my gosh, what a jerk. And then your friend says, yeah, he's trying a little too hard. And this is why wondering how I'm coming across will never work for me. I want to replace it with a different question. What difference can I make? How can I make a difference? How can I contribute? How can I help? What's different now that I've been there? And if I were to value difference making in my world would be different. I would live a life of creating relationships, creating money, creating clients and customers, creating what I wanted, instead of trying to attract it, praying for it to come to me from outside of me, deficient, defective, not enough me. That's what attraction really does. it solidifies my self-concept as deficient, defective, not enough me. I want to start with whole, complete, totally happy me. Now, what difference can I make in your world?